Our second reading from which our sermon will be taken is Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, it can be found just on the church Bibles on page 873. It's Ezekiel chapter 4, page 873. It'll be great help to you to be able to have it open in front of you, and a great help to me as well. I'll be able to see you following along, and that's a real encouragement. Let me pray for us as we turn to God's word. Our Lord God, we do ask that by your Spirit you would help us to be good sheep that follow the good shepherd. May we be alert to the warnings that Scripture gives us about being bad sheep and following bad shepherds. And Lord, we ask that through this we would look more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Ezekiel chapter 34, page 873. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, and with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not have food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture shall they feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them justice. But as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey. I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will send down the showers of in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase. And they shall be secure in the land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. When I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslaved them, they shall no more be prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. So what makes a good leader? A pretty relevant question and an important one for us to be asking. Maybe with scandals in government, it can seem extra relevant, with evident scandals in church leadership as well. This is an important question, but a more biblical way of asking the question, of putting the question, would be what makes a good shepherd? Well, we're at a pivotal moment in the book of Ezekiel. The chapter previously, chapter 33, you can flick back there. You'll see a fugitive, a refugee, comes from Jerusalem and says, the city has been struck down. So what Ezekiel has been prophesying all the way up until chapter 33 has finally come about. Jerusalem has been destroyed. And chapter 34, the whole tone of the book of Ezekiel changes. While there have been small glimpses of hope that we've seen along our way, there's mainly been a lot of prediction of judgment and destruction, hasn't there? But Ezekiel 34 begins to offer more hope. It offers hope to God's people, or God's sheep, we should say. At the end of this chapter, if it wasn't clear for us, God spells it out in verse 31. You are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. And that includes us today. We're his sheep. We might not like the idea of being called sheep. You know, they're smelly and forever getting themselves in trouble, wandering off. But my brother-in-law is a pastor on a rural Scottish island, and they have sheep wandering into their garden and getting their heads stuck in fences, and they have to go and rescue them. Well, it's a pretty biblical picture of God's people, that we need a shepherd. And this chapter will help us to consider that there are bad shepherds out there who harm sheep, only caring about them themselves. But there is a good shepherd, the Lord God, and there are responsibilities for us, his sheep, as well. Ezekiel chapter 34, have it open in front of you. God starts off by showing us the bad shepherds in 34, verses 1 to 10. It's a bleak picture of what the leaders of God's people are. This is how far they have fallen, how bad it has got. The people who are supposed to be serving God's people by leading them, growing them, have instead been looking out only for themselves. They only care about themselves. At the end of verse 2, thus says the Lord God, our shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? These shepherds, the leaders at the time, they're only interested in themselves. These are scribes, the law keepers, the priests, and the people who are supposed to be leading the worship of God. They just don't care. They're thinking it's not their job. It's a goalkeeper in a penalty shootout sitting down and checking Twitter. It's the primary school teacher who says, I'm having the year off. Run wild, everyone. How many children do you think are going to learn in that environment? This is shepherds neglecting their job. What do? Well, you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep, verse 3. They're in it for themselves. And it gets worse, verse 4. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you've ruled them. Imagine if you were a literal shepherd. It's not maybe the easiest thing for us to imagine here in Canary Wharf, but imagine you're out in the countryside looking after sheep. And not only do you decide, well, I'm not going to feed them, but you're so busy eating yourself, getting fat, that actually your sheep, when they're starving, when they're sick, injured, wandering off and getting hurt, you don't care. Can you imagine how long you'd keep that shepherding job for? You'd be fired pretty quickly, wouldn't you? And in fact, maybe you just see it as annoying when the sheep come limping up to you, wanting attention. You say, oh, that's just an attention-seeking sheep, and you slap them all away. You'd get fired right away, wouldn't you? You'd be a terrible shepherd. Well, these Pharisees, these law keepers, these priests, they simply don't care. That's how bad the shepherds of God's people have got in Ezekiel's day, and it's helping them to make sense of the destruction of Jerusalem, of why it's happened, and why God's people are scattered now in exile throughout all the nations. We'll see more shortly how pastors in the church are today to be like shepherds. But this should be a warning to pastors, shouldn't it? The job description of a pastor is not ignoring the broken, the injured, the sick, the starving sheep. And it's definitely not treating them harshly, is it? It's like the opposite of a job description of a pastor. And as a church for one another, it helps us to think about how we want to relate to one another. And we sometimes use the metaphor of church being like a ship, and it's not a cruise ship where we all just float along, pina colada in hand, waited on, and we play no part. It's often said that church should be more like a battleship. Everyone has a part to play, action stations. Everyone has a job to do and responsibilities. No passengers or freeloaders. And we get what the analogy is saying, but we have to see that every battleship has a hospital wing. Every battleship has a hospital wing, somewhere for the sick and the injured. In fact, it's intentional, isn't it, that St. Peter's barge is... It's painted on the outside, you'll see, in the same colours as the coastal lifeguards. As a church, we're to be more like a lifeboat, aren't we? Seeking the lost, binding up the injured, treating the sick, giving rest to the weary and the drowning. So maybe you're here for the first time today, just checking out the barge and seeing if you want to settle here. Maybe you've been treated harshly by pastors before, maybe burnt out, exhausted, chewed up at work, in need of some feeding. It's our hope that the barge can be a church like that for you. The shepherds of God's people in those days only cared about themselves. They did not feed their sheep, and they got fat instead. You'll see also that the shepherds of God's people in Ezekiel's day, they just didn't search for their sheep. They were unsearching. So the sheep were scattered because there was no shepherd. And as they were scattered, they became food for wild beasts. Verse 6, they wandered over all the mountains and every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Now, on one level, when we read this today, we can take it as a historical level. The leaders of God's people have done a terrible job, and God has allowed destruction and exile to come. And now his people are spread out over different nations. They're in Babylon. They're like Ezekiel by the Kabar Canal. They have been scattered over all the hills. The only people of God, they're the ones who have gone into exile. But we can also see a spiritual reality here as well. In verse 8, as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. God's saying that the spiritual condition of his people is like malnourished and abused sheep because of these shepherds. And as they've been scattered, lost, and wayward, they've become prey to wolves, wild beasts. And these people, they're scattered spiritually, are pressured into worshipping other gods, Babylonian gods. And they need their shepherds to gather them, to feed them, and to teach them to seek those who are lost. And they may be so malnourished, these sheep, that they've lost any sort of sense of what real spiritual food actually is. And so the traps of these wolves, these wild beasts, they're not easily discerned. In the day-to-day church life, it can be quite a sad reality. I remember a friend once asking me, you and Marcus, do you guys preach most weeks? And I was like, yeah, of course we do. You know, there's a job of feeding the sheep to be done. And she said, well, her pastor barely ever preaches. It's often just members of the congregation giving a sort of thought for the day. And my friend described it as, she just said, it's like we're starving. Now, it turns out that her pastor was really busy. They were on lots of boards. They were a governor of a local school. They were like an interfaith consultant for the local council. They were doing online podcasts and things. In reality, they were just feeding themselves and not their sheep. And so it was no surprise that my friend had some pretty unbiblical ideas about what church was like and what it was meant to believe and follow the Lord Jesus, because she was in a starving situation. So much time building a name for themselves, that pastor, and not feeding the sheep of their flock. When we're starved, we turn to anything that looks like it could nourish us. And that is where wolves leave bait, isn't it? We see examples all over the place, scattering rotten food of prosperity teaching. Believe in Jesus and you'll get wealthy, or believe in Jesus and you'll get healthy. Believe in Jesus and your whole life will just be sorted. It'll all be looked after. And your depression, your anxiety, that'll go with Jesus. It's rotten food. Jesus doesn't promise that here on this earth. Or the teaching that says God doesn't care about who he's making you into. He doesn't want any change. You are good enough for God now. Well, that is rotten food. It's not nourishing. If shepherds neglect feeding their flocks, then they're leading them into the mouths of the wolves who teach that kind of nonsense. Verses 9 and 10, they show God stopping the shepherds in their tracks. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding of their sheep. And no longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I'll rescue my sheep from their mouths, and that they may not be food for them. It sets us up for the role that God plays in all of this. You see, God is the good shepherd. So we see a bit of his job description in the previous verses. But going onwards in the passage, we see God is the good shepherd. The sheep and shepherd picture metaphor, he's been using all along because he's the ultimate good shepherd. We can see that the Lord God is the good shepherd, that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd in the flesh, and that pastors too are supposed to be like the good shepherd. And so you see what God promises. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. And verse 12, he is going to rescue the scattered sheep. The Lord is our good shepherd. So where the bad shepherds don't seek, we get the Lord God who does seek. The good shepherd who does. He searches and he rescues them. And where once they were starved and malnourished at the hands of the good shepherd, well, they get to graze on good pasture, on the good grass. And God is the kind of shepherd who isn't starving his sheep, but giving them a nourishing three-course meal. Verses 15 and 16, they show us just how far God will go in this shepherding task. I'll be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lay down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I'll bring back the strayed. I'll bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. The fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. The fat and the strong here is referring to those bad shepherds and also bad sheep who we'll see further on. They get a warning later. But what a kind God we worship. What a wonderful God we have. You may be here this morning feeling injured, feeling starved. Maybe just the busyness of life, chewed up at work, hurt by family. You just feel scattered. Pressure to keep your head down at work. Maybe to bow down to other gods. Maybe you're even struggling just to be at church this morning. Well, these aren't reasons to give up on God, are they? He is the very best place to go because he's the good shepherd. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 23 that he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe you feel like that's where you're walking this morning, in the deepest valley, that shadow of death. And yet, where does God lead the psalmist? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. So if today we're feeling like we've strayed, like we've wandered, what a wonderful God to come back to. What a wonderful God to be welcomed in by. It's the same God about whom Joseph wrote in Genesis 48, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. He's the shepherd that we can trust. The same shepherd who led Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. Every hero of the faith is just a sheep cared for by a good shepherd. And the Lord is the good shepherd, not like the bad shepherds. If we jump on in the passage slightly, we see that this also is a prophecy about Jesus, our good shepherd. So from verses 23 to 31, nearly 600 years before Jesus was born, God says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. Verse 24, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be a prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This is a future promise, but it talks about David. David, the shepherd boy who became king and who died 400 years before this prophecy even takes place. What it is it's predicting who Jesus will be. When we look back at David, we see a type of Jesus figure in the Old Testament. And when we now, from our perspective, look back at Jesus, we see that he fulfilled this prophecy. If there's any doubt about this, we can see that it from Jesus himself in John chapter 10. Verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd who lays his life down for his sheep. So rather than being a bad shepherd who lets his sheep get devoured by wolves, Jesus lays his life down on the cross. He died for us. He defeated sin and in his resurrection conquered death. The benefit of this is that we, his sheep, well, we have our sins forgiven. We're brought back into a relationship with God. The sin that was the barrier and alienation from God is completely forgiven, and we are forgiven. This happens by the good shepherd lying down, giving up his life for us. This makes sense of what Jesus says in John 10, verse 9, of I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. Essentially, he's the way back to God, because he himself is God. He took the sin that separates when he endured the cross. And what a joy it is that this doesn't depend on us. What a joy it is that it doesn't depend on our strength. But it is, in fact, better to realize that, well, we're more like lost sheep than strong sheep. It doesn't depend on us. Jesus says that in Luke 15, he says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he's lost just one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and goes after that one that is lost until he finds it? When we then are brought into pasture, into good food, the food that Christ gives his sheep that he has found, his lost sheep, his weak sheep, his injured sheep, his food for us is his word. The food that Christ, our good shepherd, provides for us is his word. It's written in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very word that comes from the mouth of God. So that's why we gather on a Sunday to hear his word read. It's why we hear his word preached. It's why we spend time each day with his word, because it's nourishing food for us. This also helps us to see that pastors should be good shepherds. They're a gift to the church to help feed the flock of God. Pastors are encouraged in 1 Peter chapter 5 to shepherd the flock of God that's among you. So what should pastors look like? Well, they should look like the good shepherd, shouldn't they? And certainly, they shouldn't look like these bad shepherds that we've had in Ezekiel 34. Peter says to the elders that are to shepherd, he says, as God would have you, they're to shepherd as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So they're not to make gain out of it, they're not to domineer or their sheep, but they're to be examples. And in being examples, these shepherds feeding sheep and not getting fat themselves, well, it's what Peter is told to do. By the resurrected Jesus, he's called to feed his sheep, to feed his lambs. It's something we want to be aware of, and as pastors, Marcus and I, we want to be pastors that feed sheep. There are too many tragic and terrible stories of pastors who shepherd heavily, they call it, bullying staff members, manipulating church members, dealing harshly as these bad shepherds in Ezekiel 34. And that kind of practice, it's beating up sheep, and it's not what shepherds are for. Part of the tragedy of this is that it's so often churches that claim to be wanting to feed on God's word that end up in this sort of heavy shepherding environment, and they claim to be preaching and teaching the Bible that end up heavily shepherding. That's not what we want. We want to be a church whose culture lines up with the Bible. A church can't claim to be sound if they have a bullying culture. And so we want to be people who are feeding on God's word, and pastors should look like the good shepherd. And as elders are to be examples to the flock, it extends that, these instructions to good shepherds, to shepherds, are for all of God's sheep as well. So we may be thinking, okay, yes, there are bad shepherds, I get that, there's the good shepherd, and pastors are supposed to be like them, but what am I supposed to do about all of this? Well, if we go back just slightly in Ezekiel 34, we see that there are warnings to sheep as well. In 34:17-24, as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Verse 18, is it not enough for you to feed on good pasture that you must tread it down with your feet for the rest of your pasture? You drink clear water and then you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet. And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? You see, there had, even among the exiles in Ezekiel's day, There'd been people committing injustice to one another. Not just the leaders, the bad shepherds, but sheep being terrible to one another. And not only that, but they were getting rich off one another, oppressing some, trampling some, extorting others. Injustice had spread all throughout the land. God will not have that among his people. God will not have it among his people. And we, from Jesus' teaching, we know that there are strong consequences for bad sheep, for the fat sheep. They get called goats, so not even sheep anymore. Jesus says in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory. So when Jesus comes again, in Matthew 25, verse 32, before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But the goats who reject Jesus in their actions by mistreating one another, and this is extended to those shepherds who are supposed to be leading God's people in Jesus' day as well. Verse 41, he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It's Matthew 25. Jesus will one day sort his flock. Our mistreatment of one another will prove that we never really were sheep in the first place, but were in fact goats. There's warning to bad sheep. There's great encouragement, though, and comfort to God's flock, to good sheep. Look at what life is like with the Lord Jesus as our good shepherd. Look at all the blessings that rain down onto his flock. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. So being part of God's flock means security and safety. How wonderful verse 26 is that I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. I'll send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And verse 27, they shall be blessed with fruit, security. Yokes shall be broken, chains released. Verse 28, they shall dwell securely. No longer will they be afraid. And verse 29, no longer shall they hunger. And verse 30, we get this reason for all the blessing. They shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. That's that great central theme of the book of Ezekiel we've got again. That the people had lost sight that the Lord was actually their God. They'd lost their focus that he was the Lord and to be worshipped as such. God's promise here. His sheep will know that he is their Lord and he is with them. And that's this pivotal hope that God's people now have. And God reminds us then, verse 31, you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your Lord, declares the Lord God. What wonderful blessings God's sheep are given. And we see the end fulfillment of them at the very end of the Bible in Revelation 7, where we see this image of God's people gathered around the throne. These are the ones coming out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So God's forgiven people, what will all eternity look like for his sheep? Verse 15, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For verse 17, the Lamb is in the midst of the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He'll guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's the wonderful, eternal reality of being a sheep of God. So today, let's be good sheep. Let's be sheep that flee from bad shepherds. You find yourself feeling like life and faith is a struggle right now. Maybe like you're injured, stuck, wandering, or lost. Let's see that we can come to the good shepherd, the shepherd who seeks the lost, who binds the broken, who helps the struggling, who feeds the thirsty, the hungry and thirsty. Let's see that we have that responsibility as well to help one another in those situations, to follow that good shepherd.